Hi everyone, welcome to the TCK VOF, where our conversation of TCK and faith comes together. We have a special guest today, and it is a bonus episode that we are throwing in during the summer. My name is Anna, and I'm one of the interviewers. And so today we are going to sit down and talk with Ruth Van Rieken. If you do not know her, you should Google her and learn everything about her. So Ruth is a second generation third culture kid, or TCK, and mother of three now adult TCKs. She is co-author of Third Culture Kids, Growing Up Among Worlds, third edition, and author of Letters Never Sent, her personal journaling seeking to understand the long-term impact of her cross-cultural childhood. For more than 35 years, Ruth has traveled extensively speaking about issues related to the impact of global mobility on individuals, families, and societies. Since 2001, she has expanded her interest to work with those she calls cross-cultural kids, or CCKs, children who grow up cross-culturally for any reason. She is co-founder and past chairperson of Families in Global Transition. In addition to her two books and many articles, she has written a chapter in other books, including Strangers at Home, Unrooted Childhoods, and Writing Out of Limbo. She has also co-authored a group study guide on transitions in the Bible called Life in Motion. So check that out if you are interested. In 2019, she received an honorary Doctor of Letters degree from Wheaton College for her life's work. She now lives in Indianapolis, Indiana, with her husband, David. We are so glad that you could join us, Ruth.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here, and I appreciate all the work that you're doing for TCKs, and particularly the intersection of TCKs and faith, and that's super important.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We kind of just want to get back down to basic a little bit of terminologies. Terminology is pretty important with even third culture kid, like when people understand of what the term means, they're like, oh wait, like then if I've gone to more countries, then I'm a fourth or fifth culture. But it's like, no, like that is what the third culture means, is like a mixture of two or more cultures together, and that creates the third culture. And so
that is not what third culture is, but I'll tell that in a minute. Go ahead.
Oh really? You can maybe explain that more. Good expert here.
That's the most common misunderstanding about third culture, is that it's a mixture.
I'm glad we're having this conversation.
Yes, you need to have it. I'm sorry, I don't have my slides right here. The way the third culture kid language started was when Dr. Ruth Yaseem went to India with her husband, and they wanted to study how American business people would do business with people of another culture. This was right in the 1950s after the war. International business was just starting to be as big as it is. So they went there and they were studying about how people from one culture intersected with people from another culture. And their study was, you know, what happens when people are kind of in this interstitial space. But the bottom line is that they realized that the people, she kind of wound up focusing on more the expat community, the people who had come from someplace else, and realized that whether they were business people, missionaries, corporate, foreign service, military, they had formed a culture of their own, a world of their own that wasn't like where they came from, and it wasn't like living in India, but it was how they lived as this community of people who were outside of their own culture. Now, you can actually think of this maybe, you know, if you think of San Francisco having Chinatown, that's a third culture where people aren't, you know, living as they would in China, but they're living differently maybe than the dominant culture. But this third culture, which can be expressed in different ways, but in this particular environment, was talking about how the common characteristics of those who live a globally mobile lifestyle, not as immigrants, but in this back and forth, particularly for the reasons of career. And the reason this is really important is because if we culture is something you have to share. If you don't share something, it's not a culture. An individual can't just have a culture. And this came to me way at the beginning. I think when Dave Pollitt first picked up the term, he kind of used this idea. That was kind of his original way beginning mindset. This topic keeps growing. So it was kind of this idea of mixing and I'm green and all that. But that's not what it is, because way back in 85, I was asked to be on a panel, somebody who was doing research on TCKs, and she wanted to know, what did you pick from your host culture that you've incorporated? And we had all these different people, and we would say something, and we'd all laugh, and she'd say, oh, no, that's not from your host culture, that's from your mission subculture or from your other expat culture. And finally, at the end, it was so frustrating because she wouldn't let us talk about this thing that we were all sharing because it wasn't specific enough. So I called Dave after that. I said, Dave, this can't be a mixing because it leaves me alone. If somebody didn't grow up in Nigeria from the United States, then there's nothing we can share. But these people were from all over the world, and we had this incredible sense of sharing. And that was when he added to the definition that it's a TCK is someone who grows up outside their culture and they may relate to things. You know, I like Tuodomi as somebody from Japan, like sushi maybe. But that feeling of relating to the place I grew up is what we share, not specifics about it. And we share that understanding of what it's like to live with high mobility in a cross-cultural environment. So it's important to understand that it's not just a personal mixing and matching, because if it is, we have nothing to share. And it's obvious we do share something. So thank you for letting me give my pitch.
Yeah. How would you say that it's different from the definition that I just gave? Is it because I was saying that it's a third culture, mixture of culture, while I think from my understanding, your definition is it's a sharing and an emotional connection with cultures.
It's a shared experience. I think one of the things that's happening in the world is traditionally people have looked at culture as being ethnic or nationalistic or something. What's happening more and more as boundaries are changing is that people have a shared experience, which is that same sense of being something we share. And it's a new way of looking at culture because it's still something we share. And for us in this environment, if I had my circles, you have the host culture and you have the home culture. There are two circles. There's a circle in the middle. It's not a crossing. It's a circle, but this is another way. This is another place we relate to. So I relate very much to, you know, my American self and my African self, but I relate very strongly to my international self. It's when I'm in the international community, even when it's in a different country than I know, even when it's a different subsector than I know. They may not be from my background, but people who have been from many different sectors of this experience, we do share something and we share this understanding of what it feels like to be in chronic motion and to sort of belong everywhere and nowhere, to have this sense of rootlessness sometimes or this great desire, wait a minute, I want to just stay. And so we share these emotional experiences that come out of the experience. And that's why we connect to each other and why we have community and we have language and we have understanding, which is what culture does. It gives us shared experience and shared reference points.
Yeah. How did you like expand from like the third culture kid definition to cross-cultural kids? What was your hope for that?
After we started working with the TCK community, a couple of things happened. Mm-hmm. First, when I would talk about these characteristics and the whole thing of how it is to feel, particularly in terms of identity issues, all these people would come up and say, well, I feel that way, but I didn't do it your way. Am I a TCK or not? And so I'd say, well, what's your story? All of them had some kind of a cross-cultural piece in their story. Maybe their parents were from two countries or two nationalities. Maybe they were a minority relating to the dominant culture. Their parents might have been immigrants. They might have been refugees. There was something in their story that had a cross-cultural aspect. And this is one of the reasons it's important that we did clarify in the last edition of the book that a TCK is someone who goes this global mobility because of a parent's career, because it was getting very confusing. Mm-hmm. And a child who's a refugee can relate to the emotional parts of feeling disconnected from my family and from my culture and all that. But they certainly have some different experiences if they grew up under bombs or running away than a kid from an embassy who's been in a nice protected environment. So how could we compare and contrast the experiences? And people were so fussing about the definitions that we couldn't get on to looking at the realities. What is it that's happening in the globe with all the cultural mixing and matching that's never happened before in the history of the world in the way it's happening now? How could we take what we were learning from the smaller dynamic of the specific TCK community and expand it in a way that was helpful? I was seeing people do all kinds of studies and talks about all kinds of these other experiences. And one day I was invited to do something for the Indian American Psychiatry Association. They were doing a panel on American Born Confused Fact or Fiction. Why don't our kids fit when they go back to India to see their grandmas? We have the Indian temple here. We have the Indian schools. I mean, not schools, but the whole environment. We're trying to keep them Indian, but every time they go home for summer, our parents say they're not Indian enough and we're doing a bad job. Well, I put up the hidden immigrant sign because all these other people were talking about all this fancy stuff. And I thought it's really very simple. If we look at our TCK experience, we know that when we re-enter our home country, we come back as a hidden immigrant many times. We don't know the culture. I was 13. I didn't know how to ice skate. I didn't know football. I knew soccer. I didn't, you know, all these things I didn't know. And so even though I looked like I should know and I spoke alike, this inside place of me, of course, was different. And that's the same thing when immigrant kids, I suddenly realized, go back and forth way more. In the old days, an immigrant usually came and they stayed. But with the transportation now, immigrant kids go back and forth. And so they're having the same experience of trying to go back to that place that was defined as their home country where their parents came from, and they don't fit. I felt like, could we get past the language problem and make a bigger umbrella so we could look at what it is we share? And then we can also look at what's specific to each experience. In the TCK experience, at the beginning, missionary kids didn't want to be TCKs. They said, we're so special. Business kids, probably, they didn't think they had anything to do with missionary kids. Military kids thought they were over here at Foreign Service. But if we join under one umbrella, the TCK, we can see what we share. We share mobility, we share cross-cultural interactions. But then there's difference. For the MK, there's the faith issue. How do you keep the faith or don't keep the faith? That's an important piece of our background. For the military kids, how you defend the country and being loyal and all that is specific to them. So we could look at what was specific, and we could also look at what was different. And that was the thing with CCK. Could we make a larger umbrella and make traditional TCK one of them? That we're not outside the way people are growing up now. Our experience is specific, and that has to do with going back and forth. But there's much we can share with the other people. And then we can also look at what's different. So I'll give you a chance to ask another question, but I have one more thought on that too.
Oh, yeah. So speaking of the differences and similarities and finding belongings and things, I think I went through a phase of, you know, coming here to the States and kind of just being really lost because I was different from like the international student friends who started university with me. And then like people would say like, oh, you're first generation, you're second generation. And then I was looking up all the definitions. It's like, that's still not really quite me. And there was just something, but it kind of just feel like, especially in the States, how there is a terminology, you know, for everything. And that's like part of your identity. And when you introduce people, and I just always felt very lost. And when I found the TCK term, like I was finally kind of like, oh, I latched onto something. Like I found something that defines me. I think it's helpful that there was like terminologies and that it puts words in my mouth for me to explain of some of the things that maybe perhaps like previously I didn't know how to say it. to explain it, especially to people that I do want to invite them into my life. But there's also a part that I've noticed where I went through a phase of feeling like I'm different and kind of people don't understand me, or like people are different and like, oh, you're this, you know, like, oh, you are a second generation, you're multi-ethnic, you know, or you're international adoptee, like we're different. But then I think having those friends, I think it kind of, even not that I was intentionally like even including them, but it's walking through life together and just making that bond really more than just words, and even the definition of why we are friends and why we are close friends, that we stay in touch with each other near or far. For part of our podcast, we have been using like the term TCK for all like CCKs. So what are like some of the things that you would advise us on?
Well, I think the first place I'd like to make a point, the whole story you just told is why, to me, the CCK model is important. Although eventually there's some issues going on, maybe you could call them international adoptive TCK or something, but you know, that's another discussion. But right now, what I want to say to you is this is why culture is important, because you see, you felt alone until you found other people who understood your experience. That's why the idea of just being something you personally did isn't enough, or you still wouldn't have found a group of people. So that's what, when I go back to my first discussion of what's a third culture, it's the shared experience. But the other thing that your story tells is when I made the CCK model, what was super interesting to me was I was thinking of each circle being separate, you know, like, and you can be mixed race and not bicultural, but usually there's some element of that, or, you know, binational and all the circles that are there. The very first time that I used that, I was in a business meeting, I mean, for business, local business. Lady came up and she said, can you be in more than one circle? I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, we're from India, but we're from two different groups. So my husband and I speak different mother tongues, or our initial language was different. So our kids are already bicultural. We came to the States, we immigrated, so they're children of immigrants. And we got a job with this company that sent us overseas. So they're traditional TCKs in that we went overseas because of a job. But they're also minorities. So they are CCKs within the greater context. Whenever they've gone to school, whether they go locally here in Indianapolis or they've gone international schools overseas, the basic culture of the school is Western-based. When they come home to an Eastern-based culture, to a different language. And so they're educational CCKs as well as minorities. And all of a sudden it was like, oh my goodness. And that's the biggest thing to me is in the bigger circle, we can see that it's a very culturally complex story. Your story is terribly culturally complex. So you have many circles that you're in. And I think this, in terms of faith, comes back to how do I find my identity? How do I find when I'm all of these things and people call me all crazy things? Where do I even begin to figure out who I am?
Yeah, I think there's almost, it's like everyone has, if you just look at the word third culture, like the term third culture, like I think all the cross-cultural kids actually have a third culture of their own. In the last season, we interviewed international adoptees where it's kind of a reverse cultural journey, and depending on like, you know, what age that they were adopted. And then for multi-ethnic people, it's like they were born into cultures and it's like their parents, and they kind of just adapted and took on different things of both parents. Like one girl said that she felt like her personality was very ambiguous. It's like she looked ethnically ambiguous. Her personality is also very ambiguous as well. And then, you know, I have MK friends who, or like just Caucasian TCK friends that just feel like, you know, there's part of me that's not really seen by like the larger white community. But at the same time, when they're interacting with other like CCKs, other CCKs kind of just identify them as someone who is just Caucasian. So it's kind of like everyone kind of have this different third culture, and everyone feels they're alone and no one quite understands their experience. And I think that is part of what our podcast is about, is having people share about those experiences and to come together, because there is just a lot that actually has in common. So how would you say of like us using like the term TCKs for all CCKs?
Well, I understand where you're using it, and there is discussion. Mm-hmm. Danao Tanu did her PhD work in the Asian TCK. And she feels quite strongly that what might be important, I mean, researchers are trying to find this out, exactly how do we define, is going back to the idea of what is the third culture itself before we put it on what we now call third culture kids, those who did global mobility. And that it is this process of people trying to put two different cultural worlds together. And so maybe in time, your generation is going to redefine the things. If I was going to redo CCK now, maybe I would say that you were an educational TCK. You know, we have traditional TCK, domestic TCK. You can grow up in different places in the country. Maybe one thing is to say that international adoptee TCKs, but the specific way it happens is important to see, like I say, what are unique, but the shared experience that you're talking about, you're not talking actually about everybody having their own individual experience. Everybody has that. But why is it you connect when you share your stories? Because you all have this shared experience of trying to negotiate different cultural worlds, of trying to live in that reality. And how do you do that? That's what you share. And that's part of, I think, the research and why, for me, the CCK umbrella right now, even if it gets defined a different way later, the concept that you're talking about is absolutely true, that people with these different backgrounds are connecting. That's why it's working on your podcast. And it should work. But what you need to understand is that's what you share. It's not just that you only have something you made up for yourselves. It means that the kid who's from two different ethnicities at home, they're going to relate to somebody who has that specific shared experience, as well as to me, I can relate to trying to put it together. But when they talk to somebody else who's got parents with two languages, I bet they could have a whole conversation about what it's like when my parents speak this language. I heard somebody on the radio who is from Mexico and has a white American. He said, I was U.S. American in the kitchen with my mother, and I was Mexican in the living room with my father. Well, probably somebody who's had that experience will go, aha, that's what I mean. And somebody who's an international adoptee, when they talk to other international adoptees, have specifics they can share. But in the bigger picture, we're still talking about how to negotiate different cultural worlds and the complexity. So I think it's a growing topic. I think what you're doing here is adding to the discussion. But what you can't forget is what you're talking about, and the reason it's working is there's something people are sharing. And that's the question, what is it they share? And I think what we're sharing is that people are not growing up in one culture in the way that happened historically. And that's creating some confusion. It's creating, you know, this sense of being lost, a sense of, you know, I'm alone, because so many people around us are still trying to create identity in a traditional way. And we have an identity that's been created among many cultural worlds. So the old ways don't work for us. But that is actually what we share, is that we're doing this in this new way. So good for you. I mean, what you're doing is evidence of the fact there's something shared in this.
Probably, like, you know, in the previous centuries, it's mostly regional, and you have to, you know, either by boat or you have to, like, you know, go by horse or something to travel. And, you know, there's only so far that you can travel, even though that, you know, there is a lot of cross-cultural experiences, I think, but it's more regional versus now, like, you can take an airplane and it's just, wow, like the amount of change. But at the same time, with globalization, like, I just feel like everything's getting smaller as well, of like how we are influencing each other for better or worse ways than we hope to. But So what are like some of the biblical foundations that you have used in writing the Third Culture Kids book?
Well, I think one of the most important things is why we feel this cross-culturally. What is it we share? When I first was in this, Dave Pollack had gotten a letter from a counselor, and he said, what do you see as the main issues? She says, a lot of them lack comfort. And that's a whole other topic. But another thing was that they didn't know what it meant to be a person made in the image of God. And I thought, what is she talking about? I didn't really understand that. But I think through the years when I've tried to think about it, if I think about who God is relational. And in the very essence of who God is, there's a relationship and his desire for relationship with us. So relationship is part of, we're relational beings. We're also emotional beings because we've been made, if we look at God, we see all kinds of emotion. We're creative. We have to have choice. All of these things we see in who God is. What I see happening for this lifestyle, what gets broken first every time we move? Relationships. We feel it, right? Because one of the things we need to have for all of us, we need a sense of belonging. That is the essence of what it means to be human. We have to belong someplace. When I read the TCK websites over and over, that question of where do I belong? Who am I? And that becomes a problem because in the old days, when you stayed in one place, you had your parents, you had your community, you had your place. And those things work together to help us understand who we are because my parents kind of reflect it back to me. They're my, call it mirrors and anchors. They tell me who I am. They say, well, you're loved, you're wonderful, you're gifted here. My community knew me, they could do the same thing. I knew how to work in this place. So there was this sense of confidence, but also a tremendous sense of belonging. I knew who the strangers were, and I knew, you know, that I belonged here. And that's what changes when you have a life of high mobility and back and forthness, even if it's not with an airplane, even if it's between cultural worlds and a family, we keep switching our mirrors and our anchors. And so that sense of stability is shaken a bit. Now, it's not that we can't learn it, but I think that's where, in a more foundational way, I had to go back and say, okay, who am I? When I first started working with this, people would kind of blame me in a sense, well, if you hadn't been so emotional, you would have been fine. I thought, oh dear. And then I started to realize if God made me to be in relationship with people, when those are broken, I'm going to feel it. Not because something's the matter with me, but because something's right with me. And that is, you know, part of my journey. So the reason I can go to all kinds of places and speak to all kinds of cultural backgrounds is because of what I call the likeness of us as human beings. There's a place we begin in likeness, and every single human feels it when they're separated from someone they love. Every single human feels it when they have choice taken away, because that makes us, in a way, a victim. And sometimes kids who are growing up in this way feel like they have no choice because parents just keep choosing for them. And that's another talk. But anyhow, we have likeness, but we also have this tremendous need to be unique. And that is also rooted in who God made us to be. Nobody was ever made the same. So in my very likeness, I can feel and find out how is I made differently. I always thought I wasn't creative because I can't sew very well. I can't do crochet. I can't, you know, I can't paint worth anything. And I always hate it when they put the stuff on the board in school because I always knew mine. It was the worst one up there. I mean, I just always felt like, okay, I'm not creative. But then when I thought about if I'm made in God's image, I have to be creative somehow. I thought, how am I creative? And I learned something about me because the other thing they didn't like when I was a kid was I always asked questions. And everybody said, you're such a question box. You just drive me nuts. And I thought, I'm sorry. I'm trying not to ask questions. But God made me to ask questions. Why? Because the way he made me creative is to put ideas together. And so I have to ask questions. And so the very thing that as a child was seen as a negative has turned out to be my gift. Why do I do what I do? Because I think questions. And I always wonder, I know this topic isn't even begun to be fully explored yet. There's a million questions left. So to me, the essence of what I do, the essence of why I believe people all over the world need to understand their story is, and the reason we can relate past the specifics of my story is because we share the likeness of being made in God's image, where we need relationship, we need belonging, we need to express this. We also need a sense of significance. All of that, then God gives us in the sense of realizing he made me to be this person. I'm his workmanship, you're his workmanship, created for the purposes that he gives us. And that's a simple joy I have that drives me out, I guess.
Thank you for joining us today. TCKVOF is now on Instagram. If you haven't liked it yet, check us out. So if you want to stay connected to us and ask a question or have a topic idea you would like to us to discuss in the future, you can click on the message button on Anchor to leave us a voice message. And thank you for listening to TCKVOF, where our conversation of TCK and faith comes together. Hope you have a good rest of the week.